get that tonight. They probably got copies of it back there. It's 180 degree different than what I'm doing tonight. So this morning I preached on how we live and how to live in 2012 and how we ought to be doing something for God and witnessing. And so I hope that you'll get that if you didn't get it this morning. But this evening, take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just for a little bit this evening, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I felt the need and the burden back at the first of the year to take some Sunday nights and study some doctrinal issues. And we're studying on what is called the charismatic movement. The charisma means gift. That's what that word means. So when you say charismatic, you mean a gift. People say he's a charismatic person. That means he's gifted, talented, or whatever. Charisma, that's what that word means. So the modern day movement took on that name, charismatic. And that's what we're studying a little bit tonight. And I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at our key verse here tonight would be verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible said study. Study. And that would take down a lot of confusion if people just do that right there. Study. People say, I don't know, but I know what I felt. The Bible says study. Somebody said, well, Grandma seen an angel come in her room one night, and so what? Well, the Bible says study. Study the Bible. Study the Bible. What the Bible says supersedes and overpowers anything Grandma dreamed or anything I felt or you felt or I thought or you thought or what some blessed old saint of God told you or what some great man. I've heard people say, well, I believe this because this so-and-so's a great man and he believes it. Yeah, and your book said great men are not always wise. Just because a great man believes something don't mean it's right. If we're Bible believers, we believe what the Bible says about any issue, anything. It is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. If I'm wrong, so be it. If you're wrong, so be it. And that's why we're living in a time when people don't love the truth. Don't love the truth. I heard a man tell me one time, I said, the Bible said, he said, I don't care what the Bible says. And I said, there's your problem right there. You better care what the Bible says. I'm telling you, you better care what it says. And I know people that walk right over top of what God said because of something they thought. Or I've always believed, or I heard this, or I think that. Or my papa said, well, you better let God be true and papa will be a liar. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, just so you won't think I'm some old mean smart aleck tonight, let me preface my remarks tonight by saying just a couple of things. Are you listening? All you folks that hear this, if you're listening on the internet right now, if you hear this on the radio, wherever you hear it, you listen to what I'm saying real carefully. I am not judging anybody as far as their salvation is concerned or their sincerity or their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I preach about doctrine, I'm not condemning everybody who believes different than we believe. Listen, some of the best people I've ever met in my Christian life has been some of them old Church of God ladies that lived for God and prayed right. We disagree on some doctrinal issues, but some of them they can pray a hole through the sky and love the Lord and live a clean life. I got confidence in them. I got respect for them. I got more respect for an assembly of God that loves God and lives for God than a Baptist that believes right and lives like the devil. Say amen. Say amen right there. Come on. I'm not some of the most wicked people I've ever met, independent Baptist. I mean, boy, they got all their ducks in a row. Bless God, we're right and everybody else is wrong. And their heart's just as black as my Bible back right there. And so I'm not saying because you believe right makes your heart right. Some people got their heart right and their beliefs are wrong. And some people got their beliefs right. The Pharisees believed all kinds of stuff. They had more convictions than anybody. So let me say tonight, and you get this real good. If a person don't agree with what I'm saying tonight, I'm not judging their sincerity. I'm not judging their salvation. I know a lot of preachers that don't believe like I did. Saved as a day is long. And maybe they got saved and got taught wrong. I don't know. I'm not judging them. I'm not even saying God can't do these things now. I'm not saying he won't. God, if he wanted to, he could take my tongue, make me speak Chinese right now. I'm not saying God can't do it. He could take that fellow right there and let you speak time. What'd you say? Many, many means what? How could my mean something? I mean, you know, if I say my, I'm saying the same thing. The cherry is blue. You know, it can't mean that. Oh, come on, man. My means don't burn new wood. Okay, well, I can do it then. Honey, tie my bow tie, honey, cut a watermelon. That means give $50 here tonight. Look, I want to tell you something. God can do anything, right? I am not saying, some of you might have took me wrong last Sunday night. I'm not saying God can't do it anymore. I'm not even saying he don't. God still heals. I believe in a healing God. I believe God can do anything. I mean, there is nothing that God can't do. Buddy, you better believe when this old boy right here gets sick, son, you can pray for me to be healed all you want to. I'll take it. Amen. I believe the Lord can heal. I believe the Lord does heal. But what I'm saying is, here's what we're saying. According to Bible doctrine, rightly dividing the word of truth, the sign gifts that the Lord gave the apostles to the Jews do not operate now as they did in New Testament time. That's what I'm saying. Make sure you don't misquote me. That means if I had the healing, gift of healing, like the Apostle Peter had it, I could go to Grace Hospital tonight and walk by in every room in there and put my hands on everybody in there and they could get up and I could clean that hospital out tonight. Amen. That's what they did. The Bible said they healed every sickness and every... I did not say God don't heal. You're listening to the devil if you believe that. I did not say we don't believe in healing. I said nobody has the gift of healing like they had it, the apostles had it. And if you can prove me wrong, I will apologize next Sunday night. I mean, bring somebody in here and I'll take them. Is anybody in here got anything wrong? I see a bunch of people with glasses on. We'll take care of all that. Anybody in here got a bad back? Anybody got a bad back? Okay. We'll get all y'all took care of next Sunday night. Anybody in here have an eye problem? Have eyesight with your eyes? Okay. We'll get y'all all fixed. I mean, if he can do it, bless God, I'll change my beliefs. But if you can't, shut up. He's like a cloud without water, without rain. Now, I'm going to show you something here tonight. Make sure you understand. I am not trying to be a smart aleck. You got to remember that Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful works? And then I'll profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. That's what he said he'd say. There'll be people come and say, Lord, we done miracles. And the Lord said, I don't even know who you are. So it's proof that a person can, proof of a miracle does not mean God done anything. The devil has power to work miracles. He'll do it. He'll have power to give life to the image of the beast in the tribulation period. So you got to keep it straight. And just because somebody says, I saw a miracle happen. The Bible said that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and John did no miracle. John didn't speak in tongues. John didn't heal nobody. John did nothing supernatural, and he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Watch this now. I'll get her going here in just a second. I want to show you some things here tonight. I want you to keep a right attitude. Get me, where are you at, Ron? Somebody get me the lights down for me back there. The far right, for sure. There you go. And then just dim the rest of them. I want to show you just a couple of things tonight. Might do just a little more video than I did Sunday night. I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm not judging nobody. I'm not trying to be a smarter. And you shouldn't either. Watch your attitude, because They might be more right, Lord, than you are, but a couple of these characters you'll see is not. Let's see. Let me just pick one here. I want to show you a fella here, over here, who they say is getting in the spirit. You see them lights up there? Them round ones over there on your left. There you go. Thank you. This guy, I want you to see him getting, quote, in the spirit. And it happens at his wedding. Lordy mercy, I don't know what spirit gets you at your wedding.
Before Almighty God, and in the name of the Father and of His Son Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what I was thinking. I now pronounce you one together.
He said, "You may kiss the bride." Oh! Is it that bad? I believe I'd go the other way, wouldn't you? But now, I'm not making fun of the guy, but look, there's that thing that the Holy Ghost.
Oh! In the name of Jesus, you be made whole by the power of God.
You got some weird spirit here. Just listen in.
I love you.
I got this feeling and it's keeping my body in how. It gives me wiggles and it makes my bones shake. I said how. If I should touch you, my feet be electrocuted.
Let's do something about speaking in tongues now. Just listen to this. My, look at this. Listen to this.
If I should touch you, you won't know what is happening. Oh, you'll speak in tongues and you will feel your heart racing.
That's weird, man. That's weird. Now look, I'm not trying, please don't make fun of them. We're trying to study doctrine here tonight. We're trying to study doctrine. And I want you to look at this tonight. That's the craziest song I've ever heard in my life. It's all talking about speaking in tongues. The song was. And what happens is that they, I don't know, one thing leads to another, and then to another, and then to another. And we're going to show you what the Bible says about real Bible speaking in tongues. What it meant then, what it means in the Bible, what it means to us today. And we'll show you some more here in just a second. But let me skip over here tonight. And let me show you something else here. I'm sorry, there's some, okay. Here's the guy I want to get right here. This guy's called Whack Jobs for Jesus. This is the nuttiest fellow I've ever heard in my life. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old. I've never heard nobody talk like this fellow here. Let's go back to the very beginning. I want you to hear the first of this guy. I want you to hear this guy. And get me some low off of this thing, off the number, the one I'm on, the red one, Brother Mike. I don't know if you can see this guy's face, but he has gold glitter all over his face. And what they're saying is that the glory of God, the Shekinah glory or something, has settled down upon him, and he prophesies and ministers, and he's got sparkles all over his face. Now they're saying, how many of y'all heard this? Now they're saying that diamonds are dropping out of the ceiling and laying all over the floor of the church, and when you pick them up, they disappear. And it shows, I got one guy on here, get handfuls of diamonds that's fell in their church while they're having services. Diamonds. And they say they're cut perfect. But you can't go cash them in because they disappear after the service is over. and he shows you a handful of them. Now, you might be able to see the glitter on this guy. It's always got this music in the background that hypes you up. With me, check them TV preachers out. It's always the music that does it.
It's all over my body. Posso muovere un cielo. The golden is broke open. Золотая пыль просто. It's like a holy explosion.
Man, holy explosion, my foot looks like he's in San Francisco. All right, now this is the guy.
You are possessed.
She said she has a snake in her.
Snake inside you. And this snake, this demon, always speak to you.
Then the snake starts talking out of her. Well, let's move on. We don't want the kids to see that. Here's the guy I want you to see. This guy is a nut.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, dear Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oi, 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 oi.
He does. Now, really, now, listen. If this ain't nothing. He does this oink, 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 all the time. And he says, that, look, I'm not making fun of him. He might love Jesus. But I'm telling you, this guy's a leftover hippie. You're going to hear him in a minute. He's talking about toking the ghost. We're going to toke the ghost, like taking a drag on the Holy Spirit. He said, we're going to toke the ghost and get a little Jehovah Wanna in this service tonight. That's blasphemy! Just an old burnout hippie or something got saved and needs to get his doctrine right.
Yes, Lord. I've learned a quick prayer. I'll teach it to all you really quickly. Okie dokie, Lord. Okie dokie. Lord, I love your heavy, drunken glory. Lord, I love it, Lord. Thank you, Father, for more of a heavy, weighty, drunken glory in this house today. Favorite little bit of you, Jesus, is the bliss, is the joy. You know, Isaiah 35, it says, you will be overtaken by joy. That means taken over by joy. That means possessed by joy. Lord, oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the Lord, I used to have a teaching gift. Now I have a good gift of getting struck mute in the middle of a service. One of those few guest speakers that you invite in, and then you may not be able to speak. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Well, today, we just thank you, Lord, that we have these little fat Friar Tuck bartender angels that travel around with us, and they wheel in the barrels from heaven. Some healing angels that come, but let me tell you, these little fat Friar Tucks, they start yanking on your arms. You better watch out. You know, we need a little help around here. I think it's okay to talk about the angels in the church, amen? Yoing, yoing, yoing. Help, we need somebody, help. I mean, we think we can get along. Oh, let's just focus on Jesus. Don't talk about the angels. Just focus on Jesus. Don't talk about human beings or animals or any other creature the Lord's created. I think maybe we need to learn a little bit more about the spirit realm. What do you think? Oh, thank you, Lord. Whoa. Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to do it the highway. I want to do it the right way. I want it to get done. Oing, oing. We're... Oh, Lord, we just want to... So, all I have to say, I mean, I like miracles. We were in Cleveland, Ohio. The lady's plastic eye, glass eye, I don't know, artificial eye, she began to see through it. We were in San Diego, California. A guy would... I mean, we see deaf ears open up all the time, but this guy with no hole in his ear started to hear, right? And he still didn't have a hole in his ear. He heard, but no hole. The hole didn't grow. He just got his hearing. Hearing with no parts. A couple weeks ago, I'm just going to tell you guys a few stories to whet your appetite. Just a couple weeks ago, I was, you know, how many of you guys know have heard Jeff's bilocation story where he showed up two places at once? All right? Do you know throughout church history there have been many saints who show up?
Okay. You know this doctrine. How many of you know what it is? Bilocation. That's what he's getting ready to say. Listen to him. Bilocation means I'm preaching here at Shining Light Baptist Church tonight, but I made an appearance at Charlotte at Randy Kibbitt's church also. I'm down there too. I'm two places at once. And that's what he said happened to him. Please, I'm not judging a man's heart. But you listen, people. That's why do you think the Lord kept saying all the time, be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. I don't see how in the world anybody could think that's preaching. How could you even read the Bible? Oy, oy, oy. I mean, really? Where in the world that come from? The Muppets. Listen to this bilocation doctrine.
More than one place at a time. Like you show up, two of you, two Johnnies, two Jeffs, right? So we've been pressing in for this for a while. Lord, we want to bilocate, levitate, you know, third heaven. Just give it all to me. I want everything, Lord God. I want everything.
Now he's talking about levitating. Have you ever seen them old demon movies where they make somebody come off of the ground? Flow? He said saints do that. Christians do that. There is no such thing as that in the Bible where a Christian levitated or bilocated that I know of. I know one case where Peter was in jail and God got him out and then he showed up over there knocking on the door. God got him over there. But he wasn't in jail and over there knocking on the door at the same time. God just got him there quick. I know in that place where Jonah got out of the belly of the whale and Nineveh was 3 days journey and God put him in overdrive and got him there in one day. But he is only at one place at a time.
Everything from it, just pour it out, dump it on, you know, I want it. And so we've been pressing for this for a while. I showed up in Ireland, although I was in Georgia. This just happened a few weeks. Happened actually on my birthday in August.
He was in Ireland and in Georgia.
Why don't you just look over to your neighbor? I want you to find a drinking buddy.
Find a drinking buddy.
If you're sitting on the end of a row, you need to find a partner. Go crawl over to somebody. If you can move. I need to reach over.
Watch this. Watch this.
I want you just to find their vein. Just find their vein.
That's preaching.
And I just want you to shoot them up. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. And now share the favor.
Hear them shouting? Hear them people shouting?
There was a saint. Thomas of something or another. One time he floated up. He was suspended for 12 hours. I actually know people in ministry who would rather die before they would tell you their name. They go up every day. I'm a lion. Almighty God inside of me. I was in Florida. I was in Florida last summer, I guess, and we're walking after this crazy meeting. We had diamonds showing up all over the floor, and then we pick up the diamonds and they disappear. It was because there were so many of them, you know. Like, come on, let them habitation of the diamond. And then it would start raining, and it's raining in the, like, physical water raining in the building, and the rain would fall like under our pant legs, like right there. So then you would realize it's not like the preacher spit or falling from the ceiling. It's supernatural raindrops, right? I found the secret to success. Just get whacked.
Listen to this.
Stay whacked. Don't go back.
Get whacked, stay whacked, and don't go back. That's his doctrine.
So I said, Lord, I just got to get him. So I just started toking the ghost. A little Jehovah Wanna.
Look, the people passed out.
Pass that to you there, sir. Pass that around.
Pass that joint around.
Now, wherever the chain gets broken, that's where we'll have the deliverance session afterwards. So make sure that gets passed to you, all right? Oh, geez, I want you to reach over to your drinking buddy now.
Lord, I don't know what he's getting ready to do. I didn't even watch that part. All right, just turn the lights back on, Miss Tammy. We'll stop right there just for a minute. Now, you tell me, you don't think this world's confused? It's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. You say, well, Brother Danny, how do we know what's right? Study. Study. Turn your TV off a little while and study. Get in the book. Listen to the right time. Let me tell you what I heard Dr. Ed McAbee say years ago. And I'm not even going to preach tonight. I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts and we'll look at some more scripture and go. Brother Ed McAbee said, when the Holy Ghost is around, he will always do two things. Brother Ed McAbee, one of my mentors in the ministry, his dad was a preacher from Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Spruce Pine's where my mom came from. Spruce Pines where Mac Hodge and all them old preachers and Buren Hastings, a lot of them old men of God come down. Listen, people, them people knew God. They knew God. They wasn't just religious. They knew the Lord. And Brother Ed's daddy was a preacher. And it passed. And I've got a hold. I'm glad I found out what real old-time religion really is. And the world don't know. They don't know, so they accept a counterfeit. If you don't see the real thing, you'll accept some kind of counterfeit. And Brother Ed said, when the Holy Ghost is in a service, two things will always happen. Number one, he will bless the saints. Number two, he will convict sinners. You cannot have the Holy Ghost working in a church and no conviction of sin. When the Holy Ghost comes on a service, brother, you'll start feeling bad about every wrong thing you've ever done. If you've got sin, you cannot be comfortable living wrong where the Holy Ghost is around. When he has come, he'll convict the world of sin. And let me tell you something, brother. I was in a thing down in Atlanta one time. A bunch of us boys was down there giving out tracts. And they was a big group down on stage down there, and they was beating drums and playing. They was going, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And there was people dancing there, drinking beer and dancing like this, you know, dressed every way in the world. Listen, that ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will convict you of sin. You ain't going to live wrong around the Holy Ghost. You'll get right or you'll leave. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. The real Holy Ghost will convict you. You can't shack up and live like the devil and the Holy Ghost be around. It'll bother you. And you got people living every old way in the world, stealing money, doing everything. We was talking the other night about somebody getting robbed at church. I know of a lady. We went to a revival one night, and there's a bunch of wild people there. Woman went to the altar to pray, and while she is at the altar, somebody stole her money out of her pocketbook. That's bad. That's bad. You go to the altar and go pray in the house of God and say, oh my goodness, that's horrible. Well, it ain't no worse than what you done if you didn't put your tithes in this morning. You, matter of fact, it's not as bad. You stole from God. They just stole from a person. Boy, I put you, how you like that for shouting ground? Oing, 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 oing. I tell you, you'd rather me oing than preach on tithing, would you? All right, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 just a second. Oing, oing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll never get that off of me now. I'll never quit doing that now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I expect Brother Derek to do that Sunday morning when he gets up here. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. This is the chapter on what the Bible said about speaking in tongues. The church at Corinth was the most carnal, fleshly, backslid, worldly church of all the churches. That's why it's not mentioned to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, never mentioned. Let me ask you something. If I'm wrong, how come Paul raised dead people and at the first part of his ministry could take his handkerchief and send to a sick person and they could lay it on their body and they'd get well, But then by the time he wrote 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, get you some medicine, and took a registered physician, Dr. Luke, around with him everywhere he went. Because the sign gifts, as the Holy Ghost moved from Jew to Gentile and from Old Testament to New Testament, the sign gifts changed as the Holy Ghost went. It's in the book of Acts. There are three times people spoke in tongues in the Bible. Only three. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. Every time it was a sign to unbelieving Jews. For the Jews require a sign and tongues are for a sign. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible said. Now, I didn't say God can make me speak Japanese right now if he wanted to. I'm not limiting God at all. But I am saying the sign gifts, miracles, tongues, and healings were for the Jews. And it's Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. We're only going to read a couple of verses. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. He's telling the Corinthian church this. But rather, that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now that word unknown has caused books to be written, sermons to be preached, seminars to be taught. We believe that the King James Bible has inspired even the italics. And we do believe the word unknown belongs in there. Amen? You believe whatever you want to. You say, well, that's unknown's not in the Greek. You say whatever you want to. God said it in the English. I believe it. I believe God's, and it's unknown. It's unknown to the one that's doing it. Somebody can understand it somewhere, but it's unknown to the one that's doing it. See, there's some that believe, well, I've got this prayer language, and nobody understands it anywhere in the whole wide world. No, I don't know about that. Let's go on here a little bit. Look at verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So that would be prayer, right? For no man understandeth him, nobody that's around. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So before the New Testament was complete, and the New Testament at the Corinthian church, there were people who were speaking mysteries in the spirit, and it was in a language that nobody in their church could understand. And they done it to God. And Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19 tells you when they did it, and it was a sign that unbelieving Jews might know that God would save Gentiles, the Corinthians. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That's a thought, isn't it? But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, good night. We're getting into this today. There's no way in the world. My time's gone. There's no way in the world we're going to get into all this tonight. But basically, what he's telling them is, we got people speaking in tongues in this church because Jews don't believe God would save a Gentile. The apostles still have the healing power. And you people that are doing it, he said, if it goes on in your church, you make sure you do it right. And prophesying is more important. And if you don't interpret, keep your mouth shut or just talk to God. And if you will do it, let it be by one or by two, and everybody take turns, and one interpret, and if there ain't no interpreter, keep your mouth shut. That's basically what he's saying. We'll get to that next week. And you don't know a church nowhere that does it like that. I've never seen one. I've never seen one where it says one take turn, the other take turn, the other take turn, and another interpret, and if nobody interprets, you got to keep quiet. I ain't never seen one. If they are, God bless them. Praise God. Bless their hearts. But I've never seen one do it like that. Everyone I've ever been to, you got 50 people all at the same time. Nobody knows what's going on. No interpretation. I think it's old J. Harold Smith one time said he's in a big meeting and this woman spoke. He jumped up and she gave a message in tongues. And he said, ma'am, do you have the interpretation of what you just said? She said, no, I don't. He said, does anybody in here have the interpretation of what she just said? Nobody said a word. He said, okay, I have the interpretation. You just said that you're running around on your husband. She said, I did not say that. He said, you just said you didn't know what you said. He just messing with her, you know, trying to get her to think. How you know? How do you know what you said if you don't know what you said? How do you know what you didn't say if you don't know what you said? Well, I felt. You got to watch what you feel. You got to go by the book. All right. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there tonight, and I'm going to say just a couple things here and let you go. All I'm doing tonight is getting you interested so you'll go home and dig in your Bible this week. Basically, it's this. The modern day charismatic movement began on the Azusa Street Mission in 1906 in Los Angeles, California. And you know what the Bible says. Can any good thing come out of California? The answer, of course, is no. The Bible don't say that. I'm just kidding. But it's true. You don't want no religion that comes from California. I'd rather have one come from Spruce Pine than I would California. The modern day charismatic movement began the Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles, California in 1906. And I'm going to tell you, brother, old-fashioned Baptist was shouting and jumping the pews and praising God before they ever was a charismatic movement in Azusa Street Mission. Our forefathers on Baptist was shouting way on back yonder before they ever even thought of that stuff. The Holy Ghost always convicts the sinners and blesses the saints. And I know what you're wanting to ask me, and I done had a bunch of people ask me, well, Brother Danny, is it the devil? Is it the Holy Ghost? Is it God? And my answer to that is, and we'll get to it next week, my answer to that is, there are some, more than likely, that have the devil in them. There are others that are just doing it on their own, making themselves do it. And there are others that the Lord may really be working in, and they're sincere and love Jesus. You can't say, you better be real careful about somebody saying, that's a devil. You better don't say stuff like that because you don't know. But we do know this. If something's against Scripture, it's not of God. We know that. We can stand on that. If something's against Scripture, it's not against God. Like, you know that fellow there a minute ago. I don't feel bad saying he's a nut. That guy's messed up, brother. He don't need to be in no pulpit. I'm telling you, that was a weird dude. And anybody sat and listened to that, it ain't never been around much the old-fashioned way. Toking the ghost is not the way you're supposed to talk. I mean, that's blasphemy. So what I'm trying to do tonight, I've tried to make you see a little bit clearly what's going on, and then make you go home this week and just read and read and read. And you got to remember, when you're reading the Bible, you got to remember who's talking, who's he talking to, and under what condition is he talking. And you got to remember this, everything in the Bible ain't to you. Everything in the Bible's for you, but everything in the Bible ain't to you. God didn't say everything in the Bible to me. He said it all for me. I must rightly divide it. And if you know anybody that can heal, if anybody knows anybody here that's got the gift of healing, you bring them next Sunday night and I'll take him up a love offering like you wouldn't believe. Here's a man right here got cancer, right here. And God's blessed him. He's got good reports, and I believe God can touch him and heal him right now. But if you got somebody that can do it, we got other people in here that need help. Amen? So anybody listening by internet, don't send that guy, but send us somebody if they can heal us all. He can come, but he's going to have to sit here and listen for a while. Amen. All right. Anybody got any questions? See Brother Derek right after service. Amen. Listen. he took care of it for me last Sunday night. Amen. All right. Let's stand.